Extreme Makeover. Recognize it? The Swan. I Want a Famous Face. Nip Tuck. Dr. 90210. Anyone recognize these television shows? Who recognizes them? What are they about?
Changing yourself.
Changing yourself, how?
Your appearance.
Lots of different, your appearance. Nip Tuck, it's a more of a like a soap opera kind of a comedy show. And what do the doctors do in Nip and Tuck?
Plastic surgery.
Plastic surgery. A lot of plastic surgery. Anybody watch any of these shows? Yeah? They're interesting. They are interesting. But, you know, we are, as a society, if you look, do just a little bit of research, you find out that we are a society obsessed with this new look that comes from cosmetic surgery. We spend billions of dollars just in the United States, and then worldwide even more, every year on Botox, nose jobs, facelifts, chemical peels, fat injections, hair regrowth, teeth whitening, chin reshaping, breast augmentation, tummy tucks, cheek lifts, LASIK, lip fills, butt implants, eyelid reshaping, ear jobs, jaw recontouring, cosmetic dentistry, and liposuction. Wow. And I admit it, I'm caught up just a little bit in this new look thing. This hair, if it were not for the stuff that makes the gray go away, would be more gray. Let out a secret there. And when I arrived here at Union Congregational Church, I went out and I got some khakis and some golf shirts so that I could look more pastoral and not be in jeans and a t-shirt every day. Although you'll probably find me on some days in jeans and a t-shirt still, because I like that. I haven't, however, done anything with this circle of light. I've thought about it, but I think I'm just going to have to live with putting sunscreen there in the summer. What is it about new looks, though? Think about a new look that you have recently gotten, or a new look that you want to get. We wish you could have done, or wish you could do it. You don't have to tell anyone. You don't have to shout out, "This is the new look I want," or anything like that. Just spend a moment and think about a new look that you've got or that you want to do. And then think, when you've done it, how have people reacted? Or, if you did do it, how do you think people would react? And what's your reason for wanting the new look? Now, if you thought, "Don't want anything new," then none of this applies to you. You can, you know, just sit and think about other things during the rest of the sermon. No, you can. I want to tell you about three people in the Bible who got a new look. First, there's Moses. You know, the baby in a basket flees Egypt as a young man after killing the guard, turns into Charlton Heston in the desert, met God in the burning bush, and leads the Hebrew people out of bondage in Egypt, and then brings the whole Ten Commandments thing down. He's the featured character in the first reading this morning. He goes up on the mountain, and he goes into the God cloud. It's the only way I can describe it, because it says there was a cloud. So it's the God cloud, and when he comes down with the tablets, his face is glowing. The people are afraid. They react with fear. But they believed he was glowing because he had been in God's presence. And then Moses hid his face so as not to make them afraid. Or so it says. Except when he came down the mountain, he would show them, "Look, got the glowing face," and then he'd put it back up there. Some say that Moses covered his face so that the people wouldn't be afraid. Other people say that he covered his face because eventually the glow went away and he didn't want people to know that he wasn't glowing anymore. So he just kept it covered all the time, except when he went on the mountain, "Look, I'm glowing," and then cover it back up. At any rate, he got a new look, and the people said, "It's God who did that." Now here's another person closely related to Moses, not part of one of our readings today. It's Miriam. Miriam is Moses' sister. Anyone hear of Miriam? Now you know she's Moses' sister. There we go. We've got that part down. And She was the one that just after they had arrived, after being delivered by God at Yam Suf, which is translated in the Greek Bible, it's called the Septuagint. In the Greek version of the Old Testament, it's translated Red Sea. More accurately, it's translated Yam Suf, Reed Sea, or Sea of Reeds. At any rate, they've been delivered, and she sings the song. She gets her tambourine, she shakes it, and leads them in a song called Horse and Rider Have Been Thrown Into the Sea. She's one of the first praise leaders. You know, she got up there and sang the song, and everybody danced, and everybody praised God with her direction. Now, in Numbers chapter 12, we see that Miriam was also in the God cloud, but for different reasons. She was in the cloud after criticizing Moses for marrying someone she didn't approve of. And so the cloud actually came and overtook her and her brother Aaron, who was also Moses' brother. And when the cloud was removed, she was glowing. The Bible says her skin was white, glowing. But the Bible also says that she had a skin disease. Miriam asked for forgiveness. Then after about a week, the glowing, or the leprosy, kind of returned to normal. So Miriam got a new look from God, and the people said it was a skin disease. Remember, Moses got a new look from God, and the people said, oh, it's God. Finally, let's look at our second reading today, the Transfiguration of Jesus. That's what it's called. If you look at if you open up your Bible and there was like the text headings, Jesus. Love that guy. Jesus took Peter, John, and James up the mountain to pray, and there were two more people all of a sudden there. Suddenly there was Moses and Elijah, and Jesus' face and his clothes were glowing. And Peter's all bewildered, and he doesn't know what to say, so he suggests that they put up three dwelling places, three tents, for Jesus and his friends. Now the Bible actually notes this and says he's kind of talking nonsense. He doesn't know what he's doing. But there was something different to it, because Peter, though he was bewildered, didn't know what he was saying, he did the first thing that would come to mind of a person of the time who is exhibiting Christian love, which is hospitality. Look, there are three of us. We've got to have some places to stay. And even more than that, these three tents are tabernacles. They're places to worship. So that this is a holy moment. I need to provide hospitality and some place for them to worship. So he does something kind of cool there, but he really doesn't know what he's saying. But instead of looking at that and saying, oh, it's just nonsense, it's the first thing that came into his mind. Hospitality and worship. But continuing, this God cloud comes into play again. Now Jesus has already glowed, but the God cloud comes in, and God says, this is my son. And God lets everyone know, lest they were any bit confused by what was happening, that Jesus was the one, God's son. And then everyone left and didn't talk about it anymore, at least for a long, long time. Jesus got a new look, and Peter was bewildered, and then he was silent. So three new looks, three different reactions. One, fear and awe. Two, disdain and repulsion. Ooh, disease. Three, bewilderment and silence. People reacted to this new look that God gave people differently. And people react to our new looks differently. I know that there's this glaring difference between the new looks from the Bible and the new looks that we talked about earlier, the ones that you thought about. The new looks we do for us are initiated by us, for us, so that we can get a reaction from other people, or at least feel better about ourselves. And the new looks from these Bible passages are initiated by God, for God's purpose. And the ones who get the new look have really very little, if anything, to do with what happens. But the reactions to the new look are still unpredictable. Just like if you get a different haircut, or if you had plastic surgery, or if you got a new look in some way, the reactions would be unpredictable. You know, I don't think there's really anything wrong with wanting to look and feel better. I think there's something wrong with our cultural obsession with perfection, but I don't think that the new look that people want to get, improving themselves, whatever it is, you know, I don't think that there's something horrible about that. So how do you take this idea of a new look? And instead of having it be out of our reasons, which may not be all bad, but they're still kind of selfish or selfish. You know, I want to look better. I want people to notice me. I want to feel better about myself. How could we take the new look and look at it more like the Bible reading is, unselfishly or selflessly? And here's an idea from Matthew 5:16. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. There's that light. There's that glow. It's a little different from the Moses and the Jesus and the Miriam, but it's a glow. And the glow doesn't come from us doing a different makeup job or a different haircut or covering up the circle of lights. It's shining that comes from God. And the shining we have because of Jesus isn't one about us doing better. It's about what God is doing continuously. And the shining we have because of Jesus isn't one about us looking better. It's about how God is shaping and guiding us. And the shining we have because of Jesus isn't about garnering respect and accolade because of it. It's about acknowledging God's love and sharing it with all of God's creation. I want to say those three again. The shining we have because of Jesus is one that isn't about us doing better. It's about what God is doing continuously. And the shining we have because of Jesus isn't about us looking better. It's about how God is shaping and guiding us. And the shining we have because of Jesus is one that isn't about garnering respect and accolades. It's about us acknowledging God's love and sharing it with all of God's creation. See, Moses, Miriam, and Jesus glowed because God made them glow. And we have Jesus' light because God gives it to us. And that glow, that shine, that light, it's not ours. It's not like this thing that we have because we're great. It's because God has given it to us. So this week, I believe that you're going to be in God's presence. There will not be a big cloud that comes around you, I don't think. But if that happens, that could happen. God can do anything God wants. But I think that you're going to be in God's presence. And really, we're in God's presence now. Sure, you say we're in the sanctuary, God is present, but there's nowhere that God is not. Now, I always get a kick out of people saying that they took God to the darkest reaches of somewhere, or, you know, the places where God didn't. Well, God was there. You know, there is nowhere that God does not exist, that God has not been, or that God is not. But when you're in God's presence this week, you probably will not glow. Anybody think they're going to glow? You might. You probably will not, though. You won't glow the way Miriam and Moses and Jesus did. But I think that you're going to see opportunities to try to be this person with a new look, this light, this Matthew 5:16, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to our Father in heaven. It may be something that others notice right away. They may notice there's a shine, there's something. In the way that you look and say that a woman glows when she's going to give birth, look at her glowing. Maybe something like that. I don't know. But being in God's presence can give us that light. And since we are in God's presence now and every day, every minute of the day, we can have that light. Some people may notice and other people may not think anything is going on. And I don't know what this new look will be like. I don't know how it will take shape. I don't think it's going to be the result of anything you do, like write it down and say, I want God's new light this week, or as long as I pray this prayer, or as long as I do this thing, God will give me this new light, because it's going to be all God. God gets to do it. And it may not be a look at all. It may not be something that you see. It may be something much more like we talked about last week, with a new perspective. It may be something that others notice in you right away, and you don't know what's going on. You're like, really? But here's something to do. You don't have to do something for God to act, because God gets to do that. But try to keep track of any reactions this week. Some people may react to you with a bit of fear. Others may not be pleased at all with what's going on. They may look at you like you've got something wrong. Some may look just a little bewildered, but hopefully they'll be kind. But be assured, God is active and God is working. Here's what we get to do. We get to trust, we get to follow, and we get to let God lead us as God gives us this new look. Let's pray. God, thank you for teaching us. Thank you for giving us a new look. Help us to be reminded of how awesome you are and how you have wonderful things planned and how we get to just trust and be guided by you. In Jesus' name, amen.